All right, I'll hit the video and here we go. Let me get this going here. You know, Brad, the only two times I've ever hit on a yard card in my time covering Auburn University's baseball are on today's podcast. So kind of hype that I get to brag about that a little bit. Those of you who don't know, you think the guy who's coming up next is going to hit a home run, you throw down your yard card. If he hits the homer, you win. He walks, you get it back. Anything else, you lose. And only two times I've ever done it are on today's show. So Lindsey Crosby, here with the Barn Baseball Show, joined by Village Vice's Brad Law, Auburn legend Sonny DeShera, and special guest, first baseman Cooper McMurray. Coop, welcome into the show today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
The yard card. I didn't know what the yard card was, quite frankly. But let me just say, Lindsey, boy, you really go out on a limb if you pick these guys to hit homers, don't you? You're really taking a chance.
Yeah, you're really, two of the better first basemen of recent history here at Auburn. And Cooper, I kind of want to talk about that with you. We have a whole list of questions. We're all going to throw stuff at you. But I want to kind of start with your thoughts about this upcoming season. You're entering your third year here at Auburn. And this year's team feels a little different from previous years. But what are your thoughts about how the team, the roster is different now than it was going into 23 or 24?
Yeah, I think saying that this team feels different would be correct. I think, from the fall starting and until now, I think we've gotten a ton better. I think, we're going to have a lineup that can beat you in many ways, not just the long ball, not just the small ball. I think we can do it all. Yeah, it's just the arms that we have, the talent-wise, I'll say that. The talent that we have on this roster is, probably the most talented team I've been a part of, which is saying a lot, I think. We're all really excited, ready to get going on the 14th.
Cooper, describe how it feels to be getting ready for this year compared to your first year at Auburn when you transferred from Kansas, and just kind of the newness of it to now being what's similar and what's different about it?
Yeah, I think, my first year when I came in, I didn't want to step on anybody's toes, didn't want to, say too much, say too little. So I think just kind of feeling it out when you first transfer or, you're a freshman in the fall. But now, I think, the comfortness that I have with this team and in this locker room, and, credit to the guys, I think, because without them, it wouldn't be possible. Just the vocality that I have and the leadership that I'm able to ensure on these guys, and whatever they need, I'll help them, and, vice versa, whatever I need, they'll help me. So I think it's just the comfortness that I have has gotten a lot better and grown as the years go on.
So Coop, this year, so 2025 season, okay. Last year was the year where, no postseason, very frustrating, right? So when I came into Auburn in 22, I came into a pretty similar team. Whereas in the 2021 team, they made the SEC tournament, but they were the number 11 or 12 seed. They got beat out first game. So what is the mentality, and what are guys saying that are, obviously you got some guys that are really angry about what happened. I'm angry just watching it, because that's just not who you guys are, because we got guys like you out there who are leading them. So what's been kind of the thing? I know Coach Thompson has had the go mad, the make a difference slogan all year. And so have guys really bought into that? And what are guys thinking?
Yeah, I think everyone's bought in this year, which is really important. I think in my college career, I think that's one of the biggest things that you can have is people to buy in. And obviously last year didn't go nearly as planned. And I think everyone knows that and everyone realizes that, especially the returners. I think a lot of it is just we're hungry. We're hungry for for a great season, and in the locker room talking about it, we have goals that we have and that we want to accomplish. And I think it's, kind of manifesting that with the talk that we have and the talk that we, have with each other and the conversations. And all the meetings we have. I think it's a big deal to, you know, talk about what we want to do, and that'll, you know, help us accomplish those goals and, you know, have a great season.
Talking about those goals real quick, I know that obviously baseball is one of the ultimate team sports, right? And the ultimate goal here is for Auburn to have a successful season, you know, make it to Omaha and things like that. But you personally, what are your goals for this year? Like, how do you, do you just look at it in measures of team success? Are you thinking about individual statistics, or what are you trying to get done?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is just team success. I think all that matters is winning. And, you know, after last year, especially, you know, none of us want to go through that again. So I haven't even thought about, you know, individual statistics or anything like that. Focused on helping lead the team in any way possible, doing anything to, you know, get those wins on the board.
What is it that you have worked on personally yourself, maybe more than anything else in the off season, Cooper? Is there one area that you've worked to improve more than any other?
Yeah, I think, I mean, just the body. I know I've talked about that with some guys, and just being able to, you know, be a complete player and have more range on the defensive side of the ball, you know, base run a little bit better. Yeah, but I think, you know, coming back from the fall, I think just getting the timing down again, you know, and it's starting to come back. So, yeah, you know, swing's feeling good. Everything's feeling good.
Talking about that weight loss, I know you mentioned to me last week at the ballpark it was around 30 pounds or so. What was the plan? What did you do for that? Was that diet? Was that cardio? Kind of how were you working that out?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of everything. I think, you know, not being able to do anything in the fall, obviously not what I wanted to happen, but, you know, mm-hmm. when you get dealt cards, you don't want, you know, you got to play anyway. So I think just being able to, you know, focus on something not on the field, and yeah, you know, a lot of cardio with CJ mm-hmm. and those guys will always have my back. So it was a kind of a blessing in disguise, if I might say, just being able to focus on that and, you know, focus on eating healthier and just getting in the weight room every single day and not missing days and just kind of stacking those days together. And then, you know, yeah. ultimately it worked out, and couldn't be more grateful for it. So yeah, I'm really excited for this season.
Kind of want to jump back in for a second. You mentioned getting your time this spring, I guess both you and Sonny, like after a layoff, after some time off, how many at bats do you need to feel comfortable facing velocity, facing spin, and just feeling a little better about comfort in the box? Like how many, is it plate appearances? Is it at bats? Is it number of pitches? How are you, what's that usually look like?
I would say it's just number of pitches that you could see. I think, you know, getting back in the spring or getting back in this winter and, you know, first live AB was kind of rough. just not having seen a pitch in whatever it was, 6-5 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, just constantly, you know, focusing on the timing aspect of it, when to start the load, when to start the swing and all that stuff. And, you know, Gabe's one of the best in the country, and those guys just pouring into me and helping me with whatever I need, whether it's hitting early or hitting late or, you know, just watching video or anything like that. So I don't know if there's an exact number of pitches, but I don't know, maybe 20 at bats, 15 at bats, yeah. And it kind of starts coming back, I would say.
Yeah, I took lives yesterday, actually, and it was my second live, and buddy, it felt like I ain't played baseball in a while, so yeah, I think it's almost a matter of days, not a matter of, like, because you can take, you know, 100 pitches in a day, yeah. It's like, but it's obviously each guy's different, too, so 100 pitches in a day, yeah, that would help you, but, like, if you just, like, stack a few days of lives together, and then after that, you know, then the season's rolling, so you just get it rolling.
This is for both of you guys. Coach Thompson credited SEC umpiring and a tight strike zone, Sonny, partially for some of your success because it made pitchers throw strikes and you wouldn't swing at balls. So when you get a chance, you know, to hit a good pitch, you can do some damage. For both of you, does the tight strike zone and a consistent umpire, like you kind of want that as a hitter, don't you? You want to know going into the game that that's the kind of zone you're looking at that day.
Yeah, 100%. If you want to have the confidence that when you take that borderline pitch and you kind of look at the umpire like this, that he's just not going to say anything. So that really has been, or that really was for me, a contributing factor of why I was able to stick to what I do. Cause I'm not going to be a guy who can hit a ball at my chin and a ball at my ankles. You know, I'm going to have to take those borderline pitches and hit the ones that are there for me. And that's what I was so good at. And that's, you know, that's what I'm trying to get back to. And so obviously minor league umpires, they're good too. And so just having the confidence in the umpire really changes the game.
Yeah. I think, you know, Spenny's exactly right. I think that, you know, a lot of the times Ike will go out there in the top of the first and, you know, he'll kind of evaluate the zone from behind the plate and, you know, tell us in the dugout what he thinks the zone's going to be for the day. So I think that's really important. And I also think just, you know, yeah, those, you know, we have the best umpires in the country, I think, and just being able to, you know, believe in that they're going to make the right call. Even though sometimes, you know, they're human, they don't sometimes, and we'll all disagree, you know, a lot of the time, but yeah, you know, it's just important to, you know, have those borderline pitches, you know, kind of go your way, I guess, if that makes sense. And then, you know, just have the confidence to put the barrel in the zone.
Talking about go ahead, Brad.
No, I was just going to jump in with kind of, I don't know, a little bit off the wall here. When you guys talk to each other on your way back to the dugout, or when somebody comes and says something to you, what's the maybe most off the wall example or random example of something that you said or something that was said to you that was then used in the very next at bat? I gave you no warning and no prep time for that question. So you just got to come up totally off the top of your head.
I don't know. A lot of it is just kind of day by day, I think. And it's like, you know, obviously success based, I guess, you know, so if you're on deck and the guy, you know, strikes out looking on a bad pitch, that's a totally different conversation than if, you know, Ike hits a home run. You know, it varies, you know, from success to the at-bat, I guess. But I'm not sure if I could come up with an example right now.
I mean, that's the hardest question because, you know, I could, like, just to use Ike, for example, I could go up there, strike out on three straight pitches, and I could be like, oh, man, that pitcher's disgusting. He's just dotting up the zone and everything. And then Coop goes up there, first pitch, hits a hanging slider 500 feet. Coop's like, man, this guy ain't no good. So it's very hard to, you know, yeah, just like Coop said, it also depends on how the guy's going. Like, if they're struggling and everybody looks nasty to that guy, you probably don't want to ask him what the pitcher's looking like. But it just depends on the guy.
So then, I guess, changing tack a little bit, then when you go up there, like, what is your what are you looking for in an at bat? Are you looking for are you looking for spin? Are you looking for a location? What's the ideal at bat for Cooper McMurray? Like,
don't miss the fastball. For don't me, miss the fastball. Don't miss the fastball, and then yeah, you know, if you get, you know, one on the inside corner for strike one and one on the outside corner for strike two that you don't think you can drive, you know, go into a two strike hitting mode and, you know, fouling pitches off and just putting pitches in the pitcher and, you know, trying to get on base. Really getting to first base is the most important thing.
Tell us about some of the
as true as it could be right there. Getting to first base, like, seriously, it's so hard.
Tell us, Cooper, about some of the newcomers on this team, some of the new faces that are out there that have caught your eye.
Yeah, I think everyone knows that this freshman class that Coach Thompson brought in is, you know, I think it was top five recruiting class, if I'm not mistaken. You know, it's a whole lot of talent all the way throughout the class. I think you got guys like Hunter Gatwood that can touch 100. You know, you got guys like Addison Klebschuh, one of the better two strike hitters that I've ever, you know, been on the same team with. So yeah, and those are just two examples. You know, they're all super talented. And then, yeah, you know, obviously getting a guy like Cade Fisher out of the portal and Sam Dutton that have the experience in the SEC and know what it takes to have success in the SEC. I mean, those two were playing each other in the World Series finals. So it's important to have guys that have won in the past on the team and know what it takes to win. But yeah, I mean, I could talk about all the newcomers, but, you know, guys like Eric Snow, who can play any position on the defense that needs asked. Jet Johnson's had really good at bats. And I'm sure I'm missing a couple, but yeah, everyone that we brought in and is super talented, and you know, they're all bought in, so that's really important.
I've kind of noticed a trend of when a lot of people from outside are talking about this freshman class, they kind of mention the same couple of names. Some of the names you did, whether it's, you know, Chatterton, Gatwood, whatever, Bub Terrell gets brought up a lot. Who of that group, and you've already kind of mentioned Clubs once, who of that group are we kind of not talking enough about that could really surprise in 2025?
Yeah, and I'm all those guys are talented, and I missed a couple of their names. But, you know, I think Bub Terrell is going to be an outstanding baseball player. And I think the big one for me right now would be Klebsch, I think, even though I already mentioned him. You know, me and him were joking the other day, you know, hit a day, keeps the doctor away. And I think, you know, that's what he does every single day. I don't remember the last time he didn't get a hit in one of our scrimmages. He can play multiple positions, can steal bases. So, yeah, I think that a lot of them are super, super talented, and I'm excited to see them grow and, you know, help us win games this spring.
Seeing some of those kids come in, I think he hit 350 in fall. That has to be one of those, like, holy cow, these kids are here, but they're ready to play, and they're amazingly talented. And that's just, from the outside, that's kind of mind-blowing. These kids could come into the SEC and immediately in fall ball just be raking.
Yeah, they show up to the field every day, you know, ready to work. I think that's important. They want to win. You can tell they want to win by the work they put in. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as the one of the veterans and the returners, we all kind of see it, and we're like, okay, this is a little bit different. So we're all super excited for it.
Coop, what is your top home run since you've been at Auburn?
I think last year the Arkansas one on Sunday is a pretty good one. And I don't really like to talk about it a whole lot, but I think the two foul pole ones was pretty cool. I feel like people would be mad if I didn't say that one, but I'll probably put those two up there.
Yeah. You told me the first time that I talked to you that when you were 10 years old, you hit three home runs in a game. So let's take people way back and please relive that memory for the Auburn fans that are watching. Tell us about Cooper McMurray's three homer game at 10 years old.
Oh man, it was, we were out in Owosso, Oklahoma. Not a whole lot of people know where that is, but it's where all the Tulsa kids went and played and, you know, growing up. Short field, I will add, it was short field. But, I was able to hit three homers, all of them to left field, which I thought was pretty cool. Not too much of a story there, but it's just, you know, something that always is with me and been a pretty cool memory.
Talking about you as a kid, obviously most baseball players grew up watching the game all the time. Who did you find yourself emulating as you were learning and developing as a ball player? I remember talking to Ryan Bliss about this, and he said Mookie Betts was the guy that he kind of emulated because of the stature and the swing and how he could generate power. Who was that guy for you?
My dad's a big Dodgers fan. So it was Adrian Gonzalez, played first base for the Dodgers. For a little bit. And then now my favorite player is Corey Seager. I think, you know, just his swing and the way he goes about the game and the way he plays the game, you know, he uses real emotion, not fake emotion. I think a lot of the times people get caught up in the fake emotion these days. So I think just watching Corey Seager hit, you know, I got to watch him when he was in Double A in Tulsa. So just being able to kind of try to emulate that and play the game the right way.
Sonny, who is that guy for you, guy or guys?
Yeah, I had these two posters of Pujols on one side and Manny Ramirez on the other, and those were my favorite. And they still, I mean, my favorite current player is Trout. I mean, I just love watching Trout play. And but definitely those two guys. I always watched what they did, and my number was number five growing up until I got to high school, and then the number five jersey happened to be an extra small, so it was no longer number five. I'm never going to wear an extra small in my life, but yeah, that's when I changed it up.
Guys, take us into the dugout or onto the field after a practice or a game and tell us about Coach Thompson when things are going well and when things aren't going so well. How's he similar? How's he different? What makes him effective as the head coach in both of those settings?
I think one of the reasons why, you know, he's such a good, great coach and a great man is that he's kind of the same all the time. I think, you know, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. You know, he's always, you know, the smartest guy in the group. I think that it's important to, you know, not get too high and not get too low. Like I said, I think that that's one of his strengths. And, you know, he knows how to talk to players. He knows how to get the best out of players and have them buy in. And I think that's why, you know, he's had all the success he's had in the 32 years he's been coaching the SEC. So I think that's the one that stands out for me.
I think I had a conversation with BT last fall, just kind of asking him, like, you know, because obviously the kids coming in now are a little different than when me and Coop were freshmen, you know, just with how society goes and how everything goes. And so, you know, I asked him, I was like, how do you handle this? Like, how do you handle change? And he said, you know, he's always constantly learning the group. And I think that's what makes him the ultimate players coach, is he's learning us. We don't really have to learn him because he's going to match our mood. Now, there's times when BT when he knows that we need a little extra something, and he will give it to us, but nobody's ever like, man, like what we do? Everybody's like, yeah, you know what? We needed that. And when we played Kentucky my last year, and then we go to the SEC tournament, play Kentucky again and lose, come back. And we got a talk that we needed, and I think that talk that he gave us kind of drove us to Omaha. It gave us a little chip on our shoulder, kind of trying to prove him, in which I think that's why he's the best.
Cooper, if you have a minute, I want to kind of do a little bit of rapid fire here. It's just some things that fans always ask about. And so it's kind of great to hear this from you. Pre-game hype song.
Kind of changes every day. I'm not a big headphone in the locker room guy. I like to, you know, listen to whatever somebody's playing. And Ben Shore's been on the aux cord recently. So whatever Ben's feeling is good for me.
Hey, can I interrupt rapid fire here very quickly?
Yes.
Wasn't your walk-up song last year Dancing Queen by ABBA?
No, that was not my first year. That was for a little bit. But last year, no, it wasn't.
Okay, but it was a little bit. I'm not just totally making that up.
It was for a couple weeks.
How much of that was the influence of Sonny DeShera the year before and everybody loving his walk-up song?
Yeah, you know, everyone loves Sonny's walk-up song. We still play it in the locker room sometimes today. It's important to have the crowd like your walk-up song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sorry, I just had to interrupt there just briefly. All right.
You're good. On the Ben Shore note, who's your favorite teammate you've ever played with?
You know, Cason Howell's up there. Obviously, I've been at these last 3 years. I've been with Ike Irish. You know, and that's my guy. So put him on there. Yeah, we'll go with those two. I mean, there's plenty of them. I enjoy all my teammates, so I'll throw those two names out there.
You said Cason Howell was up there, not just in popularity, but in age too. So that's
good. Cason's been friends with seven different freshman classes.
I think Cason Howell actually was in the same recruiting class as Bo Jackson to Auburn. Sure. Okay, who's the toughest pitcher you've ever faced?
I think, you know, Paul Skeens.
Okay, you know, fair.
Hagen Smith. Both those guys had my number.
Yeah, that left on left for you. Yeah. Does not seem, yeah.
We kind of already touched on this a little bit, but the favorite home run you've ever hit, is it that Arkansas home run?
Yeah, I would say just the situation and just kind of the game situation and, you know, trying to get that win on a Sunday against the top three team in the country. I think that was a pretty exciting moment for me. Yeah.
What's your favorite road ballpark to play in?
Ooh. I don't know if everyone will agree with me, but I love Florida's ballpark. Florida. I like Florida a whole lot. Obviously, you know, you got the Mississippi States, and I didn't play very good there last year, so that might not
take you noble.
But I think I'd say Florida.
How much are you looking forward to Arlington this year? And then after that answer, Sonny, talk about the experience of playing in that ballpark 3 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be really cool to play in a big league ballpark. You know, something you don't get to do every day. So I think it's going to be really fun. And, you know, we're playing three great opponents, and it's opponents that, you know, we wouldn't get to play otherwise. So I think it's going to be a really cool experience for the guys.
Alongside from the experience thing of just like, cause you never know who's going to ever make it to the big leagues out of that group. So alongside of the experience of playing there, it's you really figure out how good you are, because you're playing three, I would say, you know, top tier opponents.
Yeah.
You know, not I don't know if it's the quite SEC tier, SEC weekend, but you're playing three good teams, and that kind of like we went 2-1. We beat a really good Texas Tech team, lost a close game to Oklahoma, and then beat a Kansas State team who was okay. And you know, we left that weekend going, hey, you know, we might be pretty good. And so it's really a telltale of how you can take and learn from that first weekend, because from that first weekend on, we're like, yeah, we're going to Omaha, like no question. And obviously we had some bumps in the road to get there, but we got there.
And this year's Ohio State, Oregon State, and Baylor. And those are three pretty good teams. How, like, for both of you, how do you, or are things different when you think about a major league ballpark and major league dimensions versus your typical SEC park, right? You don't have that, you know, the monster in left or things like that. How do you change your game, or do you, when you go to those ballparks?
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, I'm not sure if we'll get to do it, but Thursday night, I think, you know, practice on the field, and, you know, Gabe will hit fungos to the outfielders off the wall and take ground balls from Nani on the infield and just hit batting practice, hopefully. So just kind of taking that all in and, you know, realizing where you are and that you're in a big league ballpark, and just kind of having fun with it. I think just going out there and, you know, at the end of the day, it's a game. Trying to have the most fun you can while you play has gotten to be one of the more important things for me.
Arlington's a little weird because obviously it's inside. And so that Thursday practice before the weekend starts really, really lets you know what you're up against. Like, that's why I really appreciate how, you know, on when you travel, you got that Thursday, or if you're playing on Thursday, you got that Wednesday night, and you really get to feel out the field and feel out what it's like. Because honestly, I mean, me and Coop are pretty even kill guys. We're not really focused on what's going on the outside of that field. It's really just, you know, you got 340 in left, 340 in right, and 400 in center, and beyond that, it's just nothing. So it really is more about the playing surface than where you're playing.
Kind of the final question here for you, Coop. Would you rather complete the put out at first base to seal a no hitter, or would you rather hit for the cycle?
Ooh.
How many career triples do you have?
Question. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say cycle because the career triple number is not a large number at all. So I'm going to say cycle.
Nice. It's always fun to kind of hear guys think about that and say, like, well, hang on, I don't hit a lot of triples. Do I want the cycle, or is it just a cool team achievement to get the no-hitter and things like that? I say just do both. Just, just do both. Yeah, same game, Cooper.
Yeah, exactly.
Same game. Coop, thanks for the time. We appreciate having you. Any kind of final thoughts you want to leave us about this team, what we should be watching for, and just your feelings on the season?
Yeah, you know, just pretty much it's just excitement. I think, you know, we're tired of scrimmaging each other. I think we're ready to play teams with a different name on their jersey. And yeah, I think just kind of bouncing back from last year, and, you know, just having a great season and having fun with it and being close to the guys. I think that's one of the things that's going to be really important is the team chemistry we have. And I think it's really good. I think it's a whole lot different. It's got a different feeling to it, if that makes sense, in the locker room, after practices, going to dinner with each other. And, you know, these are the guys that we're going to spend the next 5 months with every single day. So, and I think that's going to be really important. So, yeah, and just thank you guys for all the support that, you know, you guys give us, and, you know, we don't take it for granted. So thank you.
All right. Absolutely. We'll see you at the ballpark soon.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you guys.
This has been the Barn Baseball Show. We'll be back later this week talking about the position player group. I'm excited to talk about how many catchers we have. Just kind of fun conversation there. For Sonny DeShera, for Brad Law, for special guest Cooper McMurray, I'm Lindsey Crosby. This has been the Barn Baseball Show. Cool.